God's been good. He's blessed us when we didn't deserve blessing. He's been good. Would you all stand to your feet tonight for the reading of the Word of God? We're going to be reading from Job chapter number 1 tonight. Job chapter number 1 is where we'll be taking our text from. Certainly thankful tonight to Pastor Jerry for the opportunity to preach behind his pulpit once again. I always enjoy preaching here. Love the Spirit of God that is in this church, that you can always feel when you come in. Job chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with the 6th verse of that chapter. When you have it, would you say amen? Job chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. For a subject tonight, I want to use those words found in verse number 8. Have you considered my servant Job? I love the story of Job, and I'm excited to be preaching on it. It's been a long time since I've preached on this, so I've been looking forward to it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we need you tonight. God, I need your power. I need your anointing. I need your presence to help me preach. Lord, empty me of sin and empty me of myself, God, that I would be filled with your Spirit, ready to preach the word that I believe you've laid on my heart. Lord God, I pray for your anointing, God, on me. And Lord, I pray not only on me, but Lord, that you would anoint your people, that they would hear what I have to say from you. Lord God, would you speak to us through your word tonight? God, let us leave this place changed. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross. For everything that is accomplished, we'll praise you. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Job was a man who was unlike anyone else in the Word of God. He was a unique person who had a unique life. And Job was a man who perhaps went through more than anyone else who's ever walked the face of this earth. I would even go as far as to say that no other person in the world has ever experienced what Job experienced. Few people would even experience half of what this man had to go through. Tonight I want to show you the story of Job and how his story applies to our everyday life. Job was a rich man, and often within the Word of God, those who were rich were very ungodly people, and people who wanted nothing to do with God or wanted nothing to do with the things of God. But Job was not like that. If you read in verse 1, it says, "And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Job was a man who loved God, a man who served God, a man who lived for God in everyday life. Even though he was rich, he had money, he had possessions, but he still served the Lord. That's one thing that was different about Job. He was a rich man who loved the Lord. He had a great love for God. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters that we read of, and it said that he had 7,000 sheep. That's a whole lot of sheep. And it also says that he had 3,000 camels. In the Old Testament and in Bible times, camels were a luxury vehicle. He had 3,000 of them. It was equivalent to a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce, a luxury vehicle. So Job had those 3,000 Camelacs, and he had 500 yoke of oxen. He had 500 donkeys, and it was said of him that he was the greatest of all of the men in the East. To begin the story, we find God in heaven, and the sons of God are presenting themselves before the Lord. And it gets interesting, though, when we read that Satan also came before the Lord. Satan says that he's been searching through the earth trying to find somebody to torment, trying to find somebody to mess with and trying to ruin their life. And it's definitely known that Satan had noticed Job. Yes. Satan knew who Job was. He knew what this man stood for, what he had been through in his life. Satan knew about Job. But Satan knew also that Job had a hedge of protection around him. Now we can stop right here tonight and preach for a minute. Because if you are a born again believer, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if your name has been written down in the book of life, if you've been washed in that blood, if you've been redeemed in Jesus Christ, there is a hedge that has been placed around you. When you come into the family of God, there is a hedge that is placed around you, placed there by God, and that hedge of protection is Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is our protection as children of the living God. Our protection is Jesus Christ. We as young people, we face so many things in today's time. We go through so many things. That's when we have to remember we have a hedge of protection placed around us by Jesus Christ. But if you notice something about God in this passage, God has to give Satan permission to mess with Job. It's the very same way with you. If the devil wants to come against you, he must go to God first. And we wonder, why would God ever allow Satan to mess with us? Sometimes God allows a test. Sometimes God allows those things. God allows the test so that we might have a testimony. God allows the trials so that we might come over to the end of it and go through the trial and have that testimony that I have gone through it. I've been through it, but not on my own. Through the help and the grace and the mercy and the love of my Lord, I've gone through the trial. I've stood the test. And what a testimony this man Job had. He was one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. Because when all of these problems broke loose in his life, he still followed the Lord. When he came to the other side, he had the testimony, I'm still serving the Lord. There are four things about this man called Job that I want us to look at tonight. The first thing I want us to look at is the situation of Job. Job was a rich man, as I've already stated, but the day came after God lifted the hedge off of Job that the devil let loose every force of hell he had on the life of Job. He lost everything that he had, all of his possessions, all of his animals gone, all of his children gone. Everything he had was gone. He literally had nothing left. I want us to read verses 13 to 19 in chapter 1. It says, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another." This is sounding pretty bad. "And said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another. Said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Job had every reason to sit there and end his life. He had every reason to say, I'm through with this life. All of the hard work that he had done to get to this point in his life had been torn to shreds. The thought of all of his children dying must have come to his mind. And I'm sure that hit him pretty hard. He literally had nothing left in his life. And some of you sitting in this church tonight could be going through some stuff as well. You might not be going through all Job has been through, but you might be going through some things tonight. Because perhaps there are many needs in our lives tonight as there are people. There are as many problems as there are people. You may have lost everything you have. It may seem like the world has turned their back on you. I may be up here preaching about problems, but I have them too. Don't think for one minute just because I stand up here to preach about problems that I don't have any. Because when I stand behind this pulpit, I realize that I am not exempt from the problems of life, because even Jesus had problems. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He may not have responded to the trials and the temptations like we do, but he still had problems. He still had difficulties. He still had things that he had to go through, even though he was the Son of God. If the Son of God had problems, if the Son of God went through all of these things, don't you think that we're going to have to go through some things? We're going to have to face things in our life that seem too big, that seem too tall, that seem too tough. But we don't live this Christian life because we have it all together. We don't live our lives serving the Lord because we have it all together. We just learned what the Bible says, that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But He will go with us to the end of the age. I might have to face all sorts of things. I might have to go through this and I might have to go through that. But greater is He that is within me than he that is in this world. We have a helper. We have a leader. We have a guide. We have a God who has loved us and who's gave Himself for us. And He is the one that goes with me. The old song said, "When Jesus goes with me, I can go anywhere." Hallelujah. We've got somebody that's going with us. Job was in this situation, but he had somebody with him. We all have situations, but the only thing that matters is who you have with you. So we read on about the situation of Job. The only thing that Satan could not do was harm Job himself. So this was the situation. Secondly, I want us to look at the situation, but now I want us to look at the consecration of Job. Consecration is defined as set apart or dedicate to the service of a deity. Job was a man who was consecrated to the Lord. That simply means Job was sold out to the Lord. He was a man who had given his all to God. And we can learn a lot from him. Whenever we get in bad situations, it is our consecration to God that can get us through. I want you to listen to something. And if you're taking notes, definitely write this down. Our situation should not get in the way of our consecration to God. Our situation should not get in the way of our consecration to God. We should want to serve God with our lives. We should want to please Him in everything that we say and in everything that we do. Why should we want to serve Him though? Why should we want to praise Him? Why should we want to live for Him? The reason is that He's done so much for me and He's done so much for you that we can never repay Him. We can never pay back all that He's done for us. God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cross for my sins and for your sins. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Have everlasting life. He saved me when I needed saving. He healed me when I needed healing. He delivered me when I needed delivering. He set me free from the bonds of sin and death. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. If I was to try to tell it all, we would be here past midnight. And even then, we'd only scratch the surface. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We have been bought with a price. God has done a lot for us, so the least that we can do is serve Him. And the least that we can do is live for Him. Job had a consecration to God, and it did not matter what the situation was. He would serve God. He would serve the Lord. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes. One problem with the church of today and one problem with young people today is our lack of consecration to God. We want to be saved, but we don't want to do anything for God. We want to be saved, but we still want to live like the world a little bit. We want to talk the talk of a Christian, but we don't want to walk the walk of the true child of God. That's how a lot of Christians are living. That's how a lot of church people are going through their lives. We are living in the last days. I've said this many times. We're living in the last days. I believe that time is running out and Jesus is getting ready to come back to take his waiting church away. I want to be a Christian that he will be glad to take. Because I have devoted my life to him. I want to be a Christian that when I get to the end of my life, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want him to say that to me one day because I have consecrated myself to him. Job consecrated himself. Now, I'm not trying to preach a works-based salvation because that never works. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are not saved by the works that we do, but if you are saved, you should want to do good works. Our works have nothing to do with our salvation. There are a lot of people that preach that and teach that, that your works have a lot to do with your salvation. But let me tell you, I believe that if somebody were to be a lost sinner and get up and come to an altar and cry out to God, and as soon as they leave the church, die on the way home, they're going to be in heaven. They are still saved. And people want to talk about our works. You've got to do this and you've got to do that because faith without works is dead. But faith and works has nothing to do with our salvation because our salvation is not by works, but it is by grace. And grace alone is by the mercy of the Lord. It's by the love of God that we are saved. You should want to live for God. You should want to be consecrated to God when you're saved. Since it is the last days, God wants his church to be sold out. There are a lot in the church who are just going through the motions, but they aren't sold out to God. But I believe we should have the mentality portrayed in 1 Kings 20 and verse 4. And the king of Israel answered and said, my Lord, O king, according to thy saying, listen to this, I am thine and all that I have. I am thine. And all that I have. That is what God desires of us as his people. Not to come with to him being prideful and full of ourselves. But God wants us to come with him to surrender. God wants us to come in surrender saying, I surrender all to you, God. I am thine and all that I have. I'm yours. I'm going to live for you. That's what God wants us to do. Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There are those who are trying to serve the Lord, and you've heard this as long as I have. You're trying to serve the Lord, but you're still trying to live like the world a little bit. But the Word of God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's time there's some church people who will draw the line in the sand and say, as Joshua in chapter 24 and verse 16, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's what Joshua said in Joshua 24, 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what God desires of us as his people. I don't know about you tonight, but we have to have a made up mind. I've got a made up mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. I might have to face different things. I might have to go through different things, but I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for God. Let the winds blow. Let the rain fall. Let the storms of life come. Come hell or high water. We've got to decide, I will serve the Lord. We should all want to be devoted to God, so when our faith is tested and tried, we can hold to our consecration to Almighty God. And we can still serve Him. Job had a consecration to God. So the situation of Job, the consecration of Job. Now I want us to thirdly look at the determination of Job. The determination of Job. He wouldn't let anything get him down. No matter the situation and the circumstances that were in his life, he still served God. Let us look at another passage from the book of Job. Job chapter 2 and verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. If you look at these verses, his wife is telling him to give up. His wife was telling him to quit, to throw in the towel. But Job had the determination that he was going to make it despite the storms in his life. Amen. And I'll tell you, as young people living for God, a Christian young person, there's going to be people that tell you you need to quit living for God. There's no fun in that. There's no fun in living for God. You can't enjoy that. We have this that we can offer. We have that we can offer. It's a whole lot better than going to church every week, three times a week. But listen to me. I have never heard anybody say that they regretted being a Christian. You can talk to people that's lived for God their whole life, and at the end of it, they might have gone through all sorts of things, but they have never regretted serving the Lord. And when I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to say, I have not regretted serving the Lord. Amen. 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 I'm happy serving the Lord. Yes. There's more fun being a Christian than we'll ever have in the world. Because we know that our names have been written down in the Lamb's book of life. That we're on our way to heaven and not on the way to a devil's hell. I rejoice tonight because I'm on the way there. He was more determined to serve God at that point in his life than ever before. He had that determination that with God all things are possible. And if God be for you, who can be against you? I will stand before you tonight, church, and tell you that no matter the situation in your life, you need to be determined to make it. You need to be determined that despite the storm in your life, you can make it through because you have God. You may have somebody telling you that you can't make it and you just need to call it quits. You might be even telling yourself that. But you need to realize what the Word of God has said clearly in Psalm 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That just reminds me, goes back to the fact that God is going with me. I've never been forsaken. I've never been pushed off to the side. God loves me and God cares for me and He will go with me. As long as you have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, you don't have to fear, because He's all that I need and He's all that you need. Reminds me of that song that Brother Jerry likes to sing. He's all that I need. I love it because it just reminds me, I don't need this. I don't need that. All I need is God. All I needed is power. All I need is His provision. All I needed is presence. And I can make it. He is all that I need. Romans 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. We have to be like Job, determined to win the race. Because when you look at these scriptures, I watched a video on this. When you look at these scriptures, these were practical applications to the people. When these scriptures were written, it reminds the people of the Olympic Games, how they would see people run and they would see people run, and it would remind them of that when they read this. How one is chasing after the other one, trying to make it to the finish line. That's what Paul is comparing this to. That we need to run to finish the race, that we can obtain the prize. For I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. We've got to keep on running. We've got to keep on trying until we get to the end of the race. Determined to win the race. We have to be determined not to end in defeat and despair, but to end winning for the glory of God. Job was determined not to let anything get him down. And we have to make up in our minds that I will not quit. I will not stop. I will not be defeated. You as a Christian, we ought to be like Timex. We can take a licking, but we will keep on ticking for the glory of God. We've got to be like the Energizer Bunny. We're just keeping on going. I'm going on with Jesus tonight. I'm going on until I make it to the end of this race. Amen. Verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. I want you to notice something about these verses. Job has just lost everything he had. He's just lost all of these things. He lost his children and his possessions. The devil had done all that that he wished to do to Job. He had touched all that he had, but Job didn't let that get him down where he would go back on the Lord, where he would backslide and turn his back on God. It says that when all of this happened, he fell down to the ground and worshiped. Amen. He fell down to the ground and worshiped God. When the problems happened, right then, he turned to praising God. It says that he shaved his head and he rent his mantle. In old Bible times, this was the normal way to show sorrow and grief in the lives of those living in this time. But again, there was something that was different about the man Job. He didn't faint away, but he arose as a champion, heading to combat because he was determined not to let the devil's schemes get him down. He didn't let him get him down. He didn't let it get him down because he knew that he had Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He knew that he had lost everything, but he still had the Lord will provide. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job praised God while he was in his situation. And I'm calling some Christians tonight that when you figure out about your problem, when you figure out about your trial, when you figure out about the temptation that you're going to have to go through in your life, we need to praise God right then while we're going through the trouble. While we're going through the pain, while we're going through the heartache, we need to praise God right then and right there. Job said, I know all of this stuff has happened to me. And I know that I've been rich and now I'm poor. I know all of that, but I can still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Job exalted God. Job praised God. in the good times, blessed be the name of the Lord. In the bad times, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I'm on the mountain, blessed be the name of the Lord. But when I'm down in the valley, it's still the same exact thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. So finally tonight, the situation of Job, the consecration, the determination. Finally, let's look at the celebration of Job. Job went through a lot, but after he went through the fire and after he went through the flood, the problems came to an end. You go all through the book of Job, you get to the last chapter of the book, in chapter 41 in verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job." I like to say that's the turning point. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than in his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima and the name of the second Keziah and the name of the third Karen Hapak. And in all the land there were no women found as fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. God restored everything to Job, and it was double what he had the first time. That's the kind of God that I serve tonight. God didn't just give everything back, but God gave back more. And whatever you're going through tonight, whatever the devil has stole from you, God will give it back. Double portion. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Our God is the God of the turnaround, because he will take your sorrow and he'll turn it into joy. He'll take your mourning and he'll turn it into dancing, and he will restore you. Give him a hand of praise. That's exactly what I want. I want the double portion of what God has for me. I may have to go through the trials and the temptations of life, and you may go through them in yours. But let me tell you something. God has got that double portion waiting on the other side of the trial. That old song that we used to hear. I'm not in a valley. I'm just changing mountains. That's what we're doing in this Christian life. But the devil thought he had Job, but God. He thought he could make Job curse the Lord, but God. The devil thought he had you, but God. He thought he had your family, but God. He thought he had your health, but God. He thought he had your joy, but God. He thought he had your peace, but God. God is the one that will bring you through every bit of it, and the end will be greater than the beginning. You need to get that tonight. If you don't hear anything else I've said before this point, listen at this. The end will be greater than the beginning. As I'm getting ready to close, Brother Ricky, would you make your way back, please? Romans 8:28. You've all heard it and you know it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We like to read it. And we know that all things work together for good, period. But that's not how it is. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If we love God, if we're called according to the purpose, we know that all things will work together for good. Just like they did for Job. Job was good before, but the end was greater than the beginning. The last verse of the book of Job that we read earlier says, "So Job died, being old and full of days." The end was greater than the beginning. That's the life of Job in a simple form. Job was having a nice life. Job was one of the richest men in the world. Satan took it all, and God gave it all back, plus some. And that's what will happen in your life. You might be good before, then Satan attacks, but God will bless you. And I like what Sister Teresa just said. Our God is an extravagant God. He will bless you when you don't deserve it. Everyone, please stand to your feet. Would you sing this with me?
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only
Lord, believe. I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever situations you're facing, just bring them to the altar tonight. Everyone that would, let's have a time of prayer around this altar, praying for the power of God to move.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Hallelujah. Lord, I receive. That's why we come to the altar. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, Lord, I receive.
Lord, I receive.
Hallelujah.